Chapter 1. May 1st, 1893, Creede, Colorado. It arrived without any fanfare. A simple white envelope addressed to Duncan McKenzie, Creede, Colorado. Duncan tore it open. By the time he was finished reading the message, he was both excited and angry. Mostly he wondered what he was going to do about the news and how he would tell Cat. He put the letter back in the envelope, shoved the envelope in his pocket, and picked up the Evening Post newspaper from Denver. It was a week old, but the news was still new to him. A big headline splashed across the front of the paper said, "World's Fair Hits Chicago." Under it, in smaller letters, was the announcement that Buffalo Bill's Wild West show would also be in Chicago at the same time. He folded the newspaper, put it under his arm, and walked the short distance to the telegraph office. His mind made up in a fraction of an instant. He sent 3 telegrams. The first was to the sender of the letter. "Will arrive Chicago 6:20 for further conversation. Duncan McKenzie." The second one was to the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago, reserving a room for June 15th through June 30th. The third was to William F. Cody, Buffalo Bill, requesting to see his old friend while he was in Chicago. He and Cat wanted to show their horses to potential buyers, and this would be as good a time as any. Lots of buyers, lots of potential for future contacts. He touched his pocket, and the letter crinkled under his hand, the sound reminding him of its contents. The man who'd signed the letter indicated there was a stud in Kentucky that Duncan had inherited. He would meet the man in Chicago to discuss the particulars. The venue at the World's Fair would be the biggest this side of the Mississippi River, and the perfect reason to justify going to show their horses. Plus, with Bill Cody there, Duncan could reacquaint himself with him and perhaps sell him a horse or two. They wouldn't be used for breeding, but would be the best horses in the Wild West show. Suddenly, he was in a hurry to get home and tell Cat. What he would tell her, he wasn't sure. The next morning, at the breakfast table, he put his plan in motion. Catherine poured him a cup of coffee, set it in front of him, and then returned to the stove. She had skillets of bacon, sausage, and ham all frying. She wore a white apron with ruffles around the hem and the armholes. Alice, her stepmother, had made it for Catherine to protect her buckskin shirt and pants from the spattering grease while cooking. Catherine had put her long red hair in a single plait down her back so it would stay out of the way. After breakfast, she had her regular chores to do, which included mucking stalls, and Cat wasn't about to do that in a dress. Besides, she was used to her pants, and Duncan didn't mind. No one did. It was normal to see her in pants as it was to see Duncan in all black clothes. They were comfortable, and comfort and function was all they cared about. The ranch stove in front of her was a huge one with 6 burners, and by the time breakfast was finished cooking, there would be something on every one. Between the 4 of them and his family, Bridget, the housekeeper, plus 10 wranglers, Catherine cooked for 15 at every meal. It was a daunting task for someone who had just learned to cook 5 years ago. She had made remarkable progress since then, and Duncan thanked his mother-in-law every day for making the effort to teach Catherine after she and Duncan married.
"Get ready to pack our bags," said Duncan.
"Where are we going?"
"To the Chicago World's Fair. We're taking Royal and King George to show to a buyer, and I thought we'd combine that with a honeymoon."
She swung around to face him, spatula in hand. "You can't do that."
"Do what?"
"Sell King George." He saw her turmoil and hated putting her through this, but it was necessary for now. "He's our bread and butter. You just can't." Duncan put his coffee down and tried to keep his voice level, knowing how hard this would be for her.